Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, there we go.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on onto the show all the way from Tokyo, Japan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'm speaking with Jake, yes?
Yeah, this is Jake.
Yeah, how you doing? How's Chicago?
Good, good. Actually, I just recently moved back from Chicago to Florida. That was the one thing I had to change looking at those questions.
Oh,
but,
my goodness, you have a slightly different weather than what I expected
way
you would have this morning.
Different. Yeah, in Chicago, it's like 20 degrees. Here, we're doing fine at 60 or 70. It's perfect.
Oh, perfect.
And really quick, is it Lene or?
Lenny. Oh, my goodness.
Lenny.
No, it's Lenny. Lenny Hart.
Lenny, all right. I thought it was Lenny, but... But I wasn't sure. I know one other person with the same spelling, and they actually go by
cool.
Lene. So I guess it's
it's not phonetic. It's actually short for Lenell. So it was my mother's way of abbreviating the name Lenell, but we say Lenny. Yeah,
right.
it's Irish, so it should be Lene, but Lenny is easiest.
Yeah. How is the weather over in Tokyo?
Cold. We actually had another snow warning this morning, but it wound up not snowing. We had snow for the first time 2 days ago here, and it's stuck. It stuck for a long time. It's not usually a snowy city. So
hey, Lenny, this is Chris, the co-host. I just want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Huge fan. Been listening to you for a while, so thanks for coming on tonight. Appreciate it.
No worries, Chris. Nice to meet you. Nice to sort of meet you.
in a roundabout way, right?
In a roundabout way.
For sure.
Cyber meet, I guess, is what they call it now.
Exactly. Before we get into your career, there's some big cultural gaps between what you would experience here in America and where you live now in Japan. Can you kind of walk us through the biggest differences between the two countries?
Wow. Well, geez, that's it. To encapsulate it into a short interview is kind of difficult because there are so many differences. But I guess mainly I would say everything here is very clean, very safe, and always works. And having come most recently from New York, that's not always the case in the United States, depending on where you live. So safety is really something I really enjoy here. You can walk in the middle of the largest park in Tokyo in the middle of the night without no fear whatsoever as a single woman at night. And cleanliness, everything, as I said, is very clean. The Japanese are very, 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 very polite, very, very polite. And I think maybe that has something to do with the fact that it's so safe. People are really sincerely considerate of one another here. So I think that's the biggest change I noticed when I came here. But, you know, I've lived here half my life now. I actually don't know very much about what America's like anymore, I suppose. I turned 25 years in Japan on February 8th. So
that's fantastic.
You tell me. You tell me. What's America like?
A bunch of fat slobs. And they're taking our guns away.
But nice presidents. I like presidents.
Yeah, yeah. As far as cleanliness and politeness goes, I don't know if the Big Apple's the city I would put number one for the U.S. That really had to be a culture shock going from a place where people almost take pride in being brash and haughty to a place in Tokyo where, you know, everyone, even, you know, the top of the top are all polite with one another.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, New York, when I left New York, it was the, early 80s, I guess. I'm not very good at math. New York wasn't actually at its best. It wasn't showing its best face at the time. So, but both countries are great. I love the United States and I love Japan. I love living here and I love the fact that I'm American and that there are some great things about that country. So, it's all good.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. You know, we looked it up and saw your entry in to Pride. You know, it really seemed like fate the way you got involved with Pride, got involved with mixed martial arts. For our listeners' sake, could you kind of walk us through that process of how you originally got involved with the sport?
Well, you know, the saying is that it's not what you know, it's who you know. But in my case, it's not what I know or who I know. It's where I was at what time, being in the right place at the right time. It is an old story, been heard lots of times, but I was called up 2 days before the Tokyo Grand Prix in 2000 and asked to be the English announcer for that event. Basically, they called me up and said, are you doing anything in 2 days? There's some kind of boxing event. They want someone who's bilingual and won't be shy in front of 50,000 people. That's exactly what I was told. And I said, boxing. I don't know anything about boxing. And of course, at this time, even my agent didn't know it wasn't boxing. It was actually mixed martial arts. But yeah, hey, I'm free. And, you know, it's, I'd never say no. You know, I always say yes to new opportunities. You never know where it's going to lead. And I'm obviously made the right decision there.
Yeah. You know, just God, that must have been crazy from going from, yeah, you know, I think it's boxing, I'm not sure what it is, to being in front of a giant arena. What was it like? Was that your first time you had done a performance in front of a crowd that large?
That large, it would have to have been. I never thought about that before, but I guess it would have to have been that large. Would have had to have been the first time. I had worked in front of really large crowds before, both as a voice actor, a narrator, anchor, or actress in some form or another of the entertainment field. I've been in front of large audiences, and I think after a certain size, it doesn't really matter, because the right thing to do in a situation like that anyway is you don't think about the mass. You think about it should be personal. You should be sort of talking to one person in a way. So I didn't get nervous, but I was excited, really excited. And tell you the truth, it didn't cross my mind during doing the job itself. I was most nervous about making sure I did my job right. I didn't really think about the size of the crowd, to tell the truth.
Wow. So, you know, all of those calls, you probably, you know, with all those shows, probably did you know, over 10 million people in crowds. You never got nervous once doing all of those calls?
Well, as I say, you worry that you don't want to make a mistake. You worry that you're going to do a good job. If there are unknowns will make anyone nervous in any situation. You know, I mean, the first time I went skiing, I was nervous because I didn't know what I was doing. After the first time or the second time, once you feel like you kind of have a grasp of what's expected of you and what you can expect of yourself, you can proceed with more confidence. So yeah, anything new is always a little bit scary. But nervous because of the crowd? No, not that. I'm always a born show off.
Oh yeah. So what you're saying is that it's calling pride events, you know, being the announcer is kind of like sex. First couple times you're a little nervous, then after that it's smooth sailing.
Sure. Yeah. Funny you should mention that, because have you ever noticed when narrators live events, they don't usually use these because they like to pick up the background noise. But sometimes if you watch people recording in a studio, you see an MTV and they show a studio shot or whatever, and they've got sort of this, it looks a little bit like an afro cover on the microphone. It's this black fuzzy cover on the microphone. And we call those mic condoms. So
in a way, it goes around.
It does, right? And the other thing we call them, sometimes it's a little screen in front of a microphone too. And we call those, because when you can pop your pee, and if you pop a pee when you're singing like people, it can really snap. I'm sure you guys know, working in radio here, working in your podcast, it's an unpleasant sound over the airwaves. So we put a little screen, literally like the kind of screen you might have on your back door in Florida. And we call those papa stoppa. and it means to stop the pee. So I guess there is some correlation between sex and doing pride. Sure. Why not?
There you go. Hey, just a crazy analogy there.
Yeah, those pop shields are key.
We worked it in smell, so don't worry, guys. We got it there.
Oh, yeah. You know, and as far as pride goes, I myself originally got started with the UFC in about 2007 as far as watching it, being a fan. And eventually, I think a couple of years later, I finally caught Pride, and I was so captivated by, you know, just it was spectacle, it was ferocity, it was full of just crazy intense moments, not only in the locker room, but you doing your part and announcing them coming out, plus the fights themselves. You know, Pride had a litany of great moments. Are there any that really stand out to you as far as an event or at least one fight that you know gives you the chills when you think about it?
You know, I get asked this a lot, and I'm really sorry. I'm sorry to say only that I'm not really sorry to say that I can't say that there's one event that stands out. I don't feel bad about that. I just feel bad for your listeners and for you guys because, you know, you come up with these really great questions, but quite frankly, no, because I've been doing this for, with mixed martial arts in general now for 13 years. And there are, it sounds like a cop-out, but I swear it's the truth. There are so many great moments. You know, there is no one that you could say, well, this was the most fantastic moment, because new great moments are happening all the time. I can tell you about unique moments that have stood out, but not necessarily like the best fight or, you know, the best fighter or, you know, the most unusual thing that happened backstage. There have been several unique moments that have stood out due because of their uniqueness, but not necessarily my favorite or the best, if you know what I mean. I hate to sound pedantic here, but you know, I've been asked this before, and it's like, what's your favorite fight? Who's your favorite fighter? I don't have a favorite fight. I don't have a favorite fighter. There have been certain things that have stood out. I remember, I think it was in Las Vegas, seeing, gosh, now I'm not even sure about that, but seeing Minoa Man beat Butterbean. I mean, standout moment, you know. I mean, how can you, and he'd already been, he's got this reputation of being, you know, this, you know, David and Goliath fighter. I always will talk about Minoa Man when I talk about, you know, some of my favorite things that I've seen, because it's just so incredible. Now, whether that was technically the best fight I'd ever seen, obviously it's not, you know, but you know, he's beating people like Butterbean, my gosh. Talk about Bushido spirit.
Right. And it stands out. It does stand
absolutely
out. That's one of those moments. Because go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm just saying I got criticized once because I said that one of the things that stood out, one interviewer actually thought I was crazy when they asked the same question you just asked about, you know, do I have a favorite standout fight or fighter, as well as another thing they asked. And I mentioned the fight between Don Fry and Takayama-san. I'm sorry, I can't think of his first name right now. Japanese former pro wrestler, long blonde hair. And he and Don Fry fought. And there's this very famous scene of they're holding each other by the nape of each other's necks and just punch into each other's faces. And he's, oh, so you really like the violence, huh? No, that's not it. This was a standout moment. You don't see this very often. You know, Don Fry and Takayama-san, with each one has their hand in the nape of the other one's neck so that they can't pull away, right? And I don't know how many punches were flown straight into the face. Nose punches. One back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
I want to say 50.
Oh, you know, it was incredible. It was really incredible. Now, did I think it was great fighting? No. But certainly, I remember it. I'm talking about it now. How many years later? You know, at least what? Eight, nine years later. So standout. Very standout.
Right. And that is pure heart, pure warrior spirit. And as they say, where you reside, pure Bushido. Now, kind of moving on past that, you know, behind the scenes, the UFC is a well-oiled machine. Joe Rogan is famous for saying that it's like a traveling circus, but they really have things dialed down. I'm sure that Pride, you know, the behind the scenes moments, you must have experienced some crazy things that our listeners would be interested in. So, I mean, kind of give us a, you know, one moment or a breakdown of how it worked, because I certainly don't know how Pride was produced. So could you kind of walk us through that?
Okay. I have to say that Joe Rogan is not the only one who works for a well-oiled machine. I wouldn't compare Pride to a circus, but both Pride and Dream and ONE FC, who I'm currently working for now, and other organizations I've worked for, you know, it's not that crazy behind the scenes. The big unknown are the fights themselves. It's our job to make sure that nothing else is unknown, that everything else is so predictable, so well rehearsed, so well put together that things don't happen. And I actually don't have any really good backstage stories to share with you. I've seen some things, heard some things that it's not really my place to comment on, and I wouldn't do that. You know, I could gossip. But as far as the production itself, as far as, you know, I don't know, wheels coming off trailers as they're pulling in major expensive cameras and stuff, it just doesn't happen. And the Japanese are really famous for being very well organized, very well rehearsed, and very well prepared. And part of that is because everybody takes pride in their job, no matter how small or large that role may be in the event. You know, you could be the guy that's going around taking tickets. You could be the guy that's following the cameraman around, making sure he doesn't trip on his wire. Everyone is a pure, consummate professional. And whenever I've worked within the Japanese industries of any kind, and traveling to America with Pride as well, working with the Japanese, there's never a problem. It's smooth as glass. There are some difficulty working with 1FC because we take it from nation to nation. So there are some things that go wrong. But as it, you know, the kind of things that you want to hear, the, you know, like, oh, well, so-and-so did such and such to so-and-so, or, you know, ambulances showing up because somebody right. got punched in the face it wasn't supposed to be. I have stories like that that aren't really my place to tell anyway. So, sure. And even if they were more prevalent, but they're not. They're just not that prevalent. So boring answer, but the truth is no.
You know what? I don't find it boring at all. It is totally nice to get some insight from someone that dealt with it and was there. So you kind of just, you know, you did answer the question in a way. It just like the UFC, a well-oiled machine, very precise, and it seems mm-hmm. like they had their gig planned out, and that's good. That's some good information right there.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. Yeah, dramas exist. Of course dramas exist, but actually that would be so petty and boring you wouldn't even want to hear about it, you know? So,
right,
yeah.
Right, just some alpha male shit, right?
Yeah, or female.
Exactly, alpha female, absolutely. So, you know, kind of moving away from the production of Pride and your favorite moments, you have a background in jazz music. I actually didn't even know this until me and Jake were discussing what to ask you. So could you kind of tell us about that and how that played a role in your style of calling, you know, calling the fighters?
Well, not just jazz. I started out as an actress. So my background in both education and experience are in musical theater. And I currently have a jazz band that we've been together about 12 years now. I've got a jazz quintet. There are five, well, including myself, there are five of us, which we've been performing both jazz and, well, just sort of eclectic selection of music. And I also was a disc jockey. So with my musical theater background, I studied opera for 4 years. I've had a lot of musical connections with music. And, of course it has something to do with the way I call. Absolutely. It's all part of the whole package, the whole celebration, the whole sort of festival of the event, of the night. It's one of the things that makes it great to see live, you know. Of course, it's wonderful to see it on television, on pay-per-view, you know, into streaming. But if you come and see one of these events live, especially Pride, 1FC is a good second to Pride now. They've actually been consulting with people who produce Pride, including myself, to try and get those levels of extravaganza up there. Music is a huge part of that, you know. I mean, obviously, I mean, you guys love music, right? Especially a guy from Chicago, you got to love music. So it does affect the way I do my job. Yeah, thinking about the rhythm, the style, the pitch, the tone, the timbre of it. Yeah,
it's
definitely
integral.
Yeah. You had a very unique style of calling fighter names. It would really pump up the crowd a bunch. You know, I wish I could have gone back in time to not just see those really, really incredible fights, but be a part of the pre-fight spectacle with the fireworks and the music and you calling out the names. It really must have been pretty amazing. But that style you had to call out fighters, had you already developed that style before your job with Pride, or did it just kind of come to you leading up to your first event?
It came to me during the first event.
Wow.
Without having realized it, I had to think about this later on. I realized that this was what was happening subconsciously. I used to watch, you know, the old black and white movies, and, you know, you'd have the announcer come out and he'd pull the microphone down from the center of the ring and he'd announce the announcers. And then even since then, you know, the Muhammad Ali fights and Mike Tyson fights. And I always thought, wow, that's not enough. The announcers, how they're announcing them coming in. It's not incidental. These guys are coming. Obviously, the most important thing is the fight. But the most important thing above that are the fighters. And it never seemed grandiose enough to me. It never seemed celebratory enough, you know? Make a big deal out of this, you know? Winner or loser, these guys are putting themselves on the line out there, you know? And immense, incredible sacrifice and training. And I have nothing but respect. There are two people that I have loads of respect for. Two types of careers are athletes of any kind. Athletes of any kind. And dancers, who I also consider athletes. So that the amount of dedication and hard work and determination that goes into their careers, you got to celebrate that. And it's just not enough fanfare. I always thought it was never enough fanfare. So I made a big deal out of it. Yeah, I always thought it was more important to celebrate that. You know, here they come. And you better be excited about it, because I know I am.
Definitely. You know, talking about the respect we had for all these guys in MMA, especially at the top, it's really crazy the sheer amount of time you've got to put in to be such a great athlete, be at the top of your game,
and sacrifices, not just the time, the sacrifices,
yeah.
the diet, the time away from family, exercising even when you're tired and you got a cold, and the denying yourself certain things, it's incredible. I know I don't have the willpower to do it.
Definitely. Listened to an interview a while ago, and you said your favorite fighter to announce, at least, was Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, for all of his R's, his rhythmic name, and his inspired style of fighting. Do any other names jump out at you as fighters you loved calling out?
First, let me correct it, because it's Brazilian. It's actually Rodrigo. All the
Rodrigo
pronounces as H. It's like Royce Gracie. So Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, and that's why it's like it's Hua, not Rua. Mauricio Rua.
Hua.
Hua Shogun, yeah. Hua. obviously, things in threes are really easy to say. It's just they have a natural rhythm to them. But I still do love. Again, I'm going to mention Mino Waman. I love doing Mino Waman, partly because I really like doing the Mino Wow 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 Man. gosh, can't think of any others right now. Krokop was always one of my favorites, and that partly comes from a combination of the Japanese and the English announcing, that I guess that's part of what makes up my style as I speak Japanese, is the Krokop. So it's the P at the end of his name. That's a lot of fun to do. Recent ones, I can't even think of any recent ones right now. And then you get the classics like Josh Barnett and Mark Coleman. They were fun too. All I do is, and Don Fry. All I do with their names is just elongate them and just make them nice and big and wide. And, so I've got a few favorites. I suppose after Nogueira, though, Mino Waman, Sokuju is a lot of fun to do. And he loves it. He loves the way that – I remember one person commented on that afterwards in an article that – oh, and she stuttered on Sokuju's name. And, of course, I didn't. I did it on purpose. Sokuju. He likes that one.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Some are more difficult than others. Semi Schilt is a difficult name to call. A lovely guy, great fighter, great kickboxer. Hopefully I'll be calling his name more often as I get into more kickboxing events. But that's probably one of the more difficult ones, a Semi Schilt. That's a hard one.
For sure, yeah. We had Michael Schiavello on a little while back and asked for one of his classic one-liners, and he understandably turned us down, saying it was something that really kind of needs to come in the moment, but it definitely broke our hearts. Is there any way we could get one of your signature calls for our show, the MMA podcast? And no pressure, if you say yes, we might have to play it at the beginning of every show.
Well, I'll tell you what, I know Mike Schiavello. I've worked with him in Hawaii for Pro Elite, and I had a lot of fun working with him. He's a really, really, really nice guy. But I do understand when they say they can't do these things. I do understand it, but I'm not going to say no to you. So how's that? I made you think I was letting you down, but I'm not really. Does that like,
yes.
Does that like make it
I am so happy right now, Lenny.
Yeah.
You want to do that at the end of the interview, or you want to do that now?
Sure. We can save the best for last and try and get people to stay on the hook until the very end.
Okay, cool.
But realistically, how often do people ask you to sort of announce their name?
All the time, and I love it. I really love it. The only time it's really a bit of a problem is like sometimes it'll be like in a movie theater or whatever. I was like, call my name, call my name. I was like, I can't do that. disturb all these other people, because I, in order to do it right, there has to be a certain amount of volume involved. I mean, I could do it really quietly, but that's not what they expect. I can do lots of different ways of calling your name, but what you really want is that sort of grandiose, high pitched, high volume, over the top call, right? And I'm not going to do that when I'm in the library, you know, or on the crowded train or something, you know. So I've had to turn people down once or twice only because of that, only because I don't want to disturb others around me. But that's one of the reasons why I did get asked this a lot. And I have actually done, I don't know what they call them in America. Here they call it chaku mail. And it's sort of a pre-recorded thing. You can call your server. And it's sort of like if you want to download a song, what's that song that's really popular that even the Cookie Monster
version of?
You know? You call me later. Oh gosh, what's that song? But call me baby. What's that song?
I think it's called Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen or something.
Okay, you know far more than I do about it. But anyway.
I'm ashamed. I'm aware.
You should be ashamed.
Monster did it. Isn't that sad? Okay. So it's you can get that put on your phone as your ringtone and stuff, right? Here they call that chaku mail. So you actually call up your server and you can pay, X amount of money and you can have that. So that they have my voice. There's a few different servers here that have my voice doing that. Just even things like saying, good morning or, and in Japanese, some of them are in Japanese. And so the joke doesn't translate that well, but there's certain things you can say in Japanese, like, hey, moron, if your phone's ringing, can't you hear it? That kind of stuff, right? So they've got, it's called chaku mail and you can do that here. So that happened a couple of years ago. They recorded my voice for that. It took days to do it. And boy, I didn't have much of a voice after pages and pages and pages and pages of things I read for them. And then there's another version that's actually an MMA version, which is just the your name called MMA style. That's here in Japan. And that's, with a local carrier. So, but people were asking me this as I would travel overseas and, just everyday people and people asking me to do wedding calls and stuff like that, birthday messages and stuff. So it's happening so frequently that what I did was I started my own service. It's not a service, it's actually a business. WWW Lenny Hart as one name, LenneHart.com. So you can get, as I just mentioned, birthday messages, ringtones, answering machine messages, wedding calls and stuff like that. So I was getting asked quite a lot to do that and started that service. So if anyone wants to do that, it's pretty cheap and you can just do it online and we send you an MP3 of it. You could pay via PayPal. So it's really easy to do. But I still get asked and I'm like, if someone asks me, at a gig or on the streets or whatever, I just do it. I mean, I love it. I'm flattered. It's flattery for me. I think it's wonderful that people ask, like you guys.
you really should love it, Lenny, because it's not only amazing and different, it's your own thing, but before I get to my next question, I for sure am going to go on your website and have a alarm clock tone in your name to wake me up every morning. Wake the fuck up now.
That's the other ones here in Japan. Good morning. Actually, recently on Facebook, someone said that they have they have a recording of me calling Alistair Overeem's name, and that's probably from the UFC Undisputed 2-3, whatever it is, the computer game, right? They probably recorded it off that, which is technically, by the way, illegal, but they recorded me calling Alistair Overeem's name and then put it on a loop, and they have that on their alarm clock, obviously on their smartphone, right, to wake them up in the morning. I said, wouldn't good morning work better? Because this guy's name's not Alistair Overeem, but it's obviously his favorite athlete. So I don't advise that people do that because that's I don't own that. The people who made the EA Games own that recording. So careful.
Yeah, copyright shit right there.
Yeah, a little bit of copyright stuff happening there. Yeah, and as I said, I don't own that. I mean, apparently I am copyrighted. My style is copyrighted. So fair warning out there to anybody who does want to copy it.
Don't fuck with Lenny.
No, if I was Alistair Overeem, though, I would use that as my wake-up time.
But I just told this guy on Facebook, but your name isn't Alistair Overeem, so wouldn't you rather me say good morning? I'll do it for you. I'll do it for free, hell. Just call me up. poor guy getting every day, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's amazing. getting to other questions, I'm just lost for words here.
I just turn on too much, don't I?
No, not at all. I love it. I dig it. It's amazing. The current state of mixed martial arts, it's really blown up. You have all these guys that are coming out and doing amazing things. John Jones has had a fucking amazing two-year span of just defeating champions. Anderson Silva is still undefeated in the UFC. You know, Fedor has fallen from grace, but if you look at his career, he was pretty damn good. If you follow the sport, who would you put your money on for pound for pound best fighter on the planet?
Well, you know, that's such a hard question, partly because I don't really get a chance to follow the UFC much. And of course, for North America, that's pretty much all you guys know. I mean, I know you that you'll watch what's going on in Asia, but now that Pride is not as prevalent and ONE FC has not really quite gotten over to North America yet as far as broadcast goes, your frame of reference is probably mostly UFC, which I don't get the chance to watch much. I'm just so busy. I mean, I'm traveling every month doing stuff over here. And of course, that's just the traveling and the actual event itself. So I don't really get a chance to see what's going on in North America. Because Pride used to be sort of worldwide known, I can mention some of the Pride fighters. That might sound a little bit old school to you guys. Certainly pound for pound, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, if he were still fighting. Wanderlei Silva, forget about it. Certainly Emelianenko Fedor. These are some real giants. Mirko Krokop. But we're talking about five, 10 years ago. They were at their peak. Currently, the only one I can think of, pound for pound, you mentioned pound for pound, of course, where I live now, we'd say kilo for kilo. Yep. Certainly, and I know that not everyone likes him, but you gotta give kudos to Shinya Aoki. I mean, this guy, you know, out of his weight class, this Shinya Aoki, I mean, you don't have to like him personally. You don't even have to understand him, but this guy's been, I mean, he's got a great record and he just keeps improving himself more and more and more and more and more. And now that he's working with Evolve MMA out of Singapore, I think he's really improved even further. So, I'm not saying he's the best. I'm saying he's the best I could think of right now. As I said, I haven't followed UFC much lately. So Shinya Aoki, someone to keep your eye on. And I think Melvin Manoff, you're going to see some great things coming out of Melvin Manoff, in the next couple of years. If you're talking about overall, historically, the names I mentioned before, Fedor, Wanderlei Silva, Anderson Silva, though. I mean, I remember Anderson Silva when he was first starting out, and he's amazing. He's really amazing. For a while there, his nickname was the Spider. I gave him that nickname, and I remember I asked my director the day that I first called him the Spider, and I asked my director, do you mind if I say this? Because a real last-minute decision. I was just about to call him into the ring, right? He said, yeah, cool, go ahead, because I thought he looked like a spider, right? And told him about it later on. I told Anderson about that later. I said, do you mind? Later that night. And he said, no, I think that's so cool, but I think the nickname got dropped. But Anderson Silva certainly impresses me as well.
Did you? No, really? Definitely. That is absolutely amazing, because most people would say the greatest fighter around now is Anderson Silva, and he's definitely still known as Anderson the Spider Silva.
Is he really? Cool. Very cool.
Hey, congratulations,
swear to God, guys, I actually asked him later on, do you mind that I called you that? The same night that I called him that for the first time, so that's
wow,
definitely mine.
Wow.
I didn't know. That's really
that,
cool.
That is amazing. No, it's still used pretty often. I mean, I think his last win against Stefan Bonner, when they were freaking out, they're like, the Spider Silva wins again, or something.
Oh, that is really cool. I'm really glad, because he just had a, and it was just part of the style, the quality, you know, he's this sort of slow, quiet, menacing, amazing. I mean, actually, he's not dissimilar in some of the ways he fights to Shinya Aoki, but of course, he's like, when I first saw Shinya Aoki fight, Aoki Shinya, that's what they call him here. When I first saw him fight, he was wearing these longish, bright yellow spandex
pants.
And I'm really glad that I didn't do this, but I was almost going to do it. It was exactly the same situation. I asked my director if he thought it was cool, and I was just about to call him because he was always wearing these same ones. And I didn't call him the first time I asked about it. I didn't call it. And the next time I was like, okay, I'm going to use this nickname I thought of. And he came out in rainbow colored pants, so I couldn't use it. But I was going to call him Banana Pants.
You should have done it, dude.
Well, if he had been still wearing yellow, I would have. But because he was wearing these rainbow pants, so now he's just Aoki, which is, of course, getting the sound of the, I hope I didn't hurt your eardrums just now.
Not
getting
well.
The sort of a howling sound out of his name.
You made love to them.
Yes.
One question, actually, off the cuff. I know we kind of went through the questions earlier, but there's one thing I wanted to say and then ask you a question afterwards. You said that we probably just watch UFC. I myself have actually kept up with Dream as well as K1 until it kind of died out in Japan in late 2010. I really miss it. I really miss seeing that on I think it's HDNet, something like that.
I think it's Access TV now. Yeah.
Well, now it's Access. Yeah, you're correct. So I kept up with Dream. I kept up with K1. I was really big into it. I don't keep up with Deep at all because, I mean, there's really no way for us to watch it out here beyond some kind of mythical stream. Other than that,
mythical stream.
Thank you. Yeah, you can't find it. But you know, I really kept up with Japanese MMA, and it really does make me sad that we don't really have that kind of blooming as much as it did in the past. I'm a huge fan of Japanese mixed martial arts. I, as far as Pride goes and kickboxing, it really is kind of a bummer that we don't have it anymore. What do you think would it take to get that to resurge and come back again? Because I want to see it. I'd love to see kickboxing again with all the greats on planet Earth. What would it
take? I'm not so sure you're going to see specifically JMMA anymore. I mean, Japanese MMA is what sort of created an enigma that is MMA, both in North America and now what is taking off in Asia. What you're going to see is an insurgence of Asian MMA, which will include Japan. I mean, the region has grown, the sport has grown, and it's not going to be exclusive to Japan. There are a lot of reasons why Japanese MMA declined, and certainly not the least of which was the earthquake and the economic downturn here. That had a huge effect. It's a cultural thing here as well. Many things, like I announced for the Japan Derby as well, the horse races and all, which should have been like a month after the earthquake 2 years ago, and that got canceled. It's just out of respect for the thousands and thousands of people who lost their lives and thousands more who are still homeless. Right, in up north here in Japan, and the bad economy. So you don't go out and just, you know, and start, you know, screaming at these big, huge festivals of celebration of athleticism and you know, large gatherings of people at Saitama Super Arena. You have 50,000 people going there, right? People are still fans, but there's not going to be quite that same amount of exuberance a year or two after a huge national disaster like the earthquake, particularly during an economic crisis. So I don't know if or when you will see a return of JMMA at its peak in the past. I don't even know if you should, because what's happening now is it's becoming an entire region. And Asian MMA is huge and growing at an extraordinary pace. So, and of course, that region itself also covers such a wide area of talent as well as resources. So you're going to see some pretty promising athletes coming out of Asia. You're going to see some really unique styles. You're going to see part of what's missing, I think, sometimes in North America when it comes to mixed martial arts is that it's referred to as ultimate fighting. And you sort of lose out a little bit, I think, on the art, on the Bushido spirit, on the sportsmanlike behavior, on the not focusing so much on the violence, focusing more on the athleticism. That's one of the things I love about JMMA, and I'm really, really happy to say is exactly the same attitude when it comes to the broader concept of Asian MMA. So you're going to see some amazing things coming, and it's not, you know, it's not like you don't need monopolies. We've got networks, we've got cooperation going on here. So you're going to see it furthering the sport rather than, you know, one entity trying to dominate or one entity being better than another. So you won't have like, you know, well, there's pride and then there's all these like deep and shoto and all these other little guys who never really get, who, you know, like stepping stones to get to pride. It's not like that anymore. There's this vast pool of talent and resources. So you're going to see some big things coming out of Asia.
That was a real beautiful breakdown there, and I enjoyed it very much. That was very well put. Before we move on, and you know, Jake gets back on the horn here, I just wanted to ask you if you think K1 is on the same level that you just talked about, because K1 is not mixed martial arts. It doesn't have you know, mixed martial arts is the biggest booming and developing sport in the world at this point. Do you think that K1 is going to have a similar resurgence? Because I enjoy K1 just as much as I enjoy mixed martial arts, and I enjoy it more than boxing. And I would love to see it get back on the map. Do you think that we'll see a kind of like a phoenix rising from the ashes? Will we see a resurgence?
It, personally, K1 is a bit of a misnomer, because K1 is actually a brand name, just as Pride and UFC and ONE FC are brand names. The sport itself is kickboxing. K1 specifically was kickboxing rather than mixed martial arts. It was kickboxing. There are some here in Japan say that the term kickboxing is actually a copyrighted term. I disagree. You can't copyright it. It's a dictionary term. So you don't often hear the word kickboxing within Japan itself. But throughout Asia, there's a difference between kickboxing and mixed martial arts, only in that kickboxing is limited to, hello, kickboxing. Wrap your head around that one. I think that Glory World Sports and the Glory Sports International Group are going to be taking kickboxing to a whole new level. And that is very specific. It's, you know, that's, you know, if you, kickboxing is a really exciting sport. It's like saying boxing. I mean, mixed martial arts also includes boxing. You know, it includes street fighting, it includes, you know, all sorts of things. That's part of the joy of watching that, is watching these various athletes from these various disciplines with combined rules in a ring or a cage. Kickboxing is more purist. It's a more distilled version, distill it down to one essence, and it's kickboxing. That's what Glory is doing. And I think you're going to see some fantastic things happening there as well throughout Europe and United States of America, and possibly even into Canada. And I do know that they have just recently joined the ONE FC network as well, so they're going to be around in Asia as well. So if you want to be purist and just say, I want to watch kickboxing, you'll be able to watch that with Glory.
No, I totally get what you're saying. I totally understand the differences. I'm sorry, I'll re-specify here. I meant the brand K1 itself, because K1 itself had an amazing brand, and they really had something going, and they've been trying to figure out how to restart it in different capacities, and it's been in limbo since the mm-hmm. end of 2010. So what I was asking
I don't see it happening, but that's, you know, I mean, I don't know. I only hear the industry gossip, and from what's being the buzz going around is that it won't. There won't be a resurgence, but who knows? And as I said, this more cooperative spirit that's happening here in Asia could help it, I think, especially if, like, Glory has helped Dream. They bought the New Year's Eve show, so we had the combined Dream 18 and Glory 4 event on New Year's Eve at Saitama Super Arena. That could happen if there's, you know, if there's an infusion of technical support and financial support, it could happen. Who knows? You know, I can't say I can't see the future. So I don't know. The buzz right now in the industry, I haven't really heard much about K1 having a resurgence. I do hear a lot about Glory. I do hear a lot about Dream coming back to a certain degree at least. So kickboxing will be around. K1 specifically, it's anyone's guess as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you.
I'm really kind of surprised the American audience is having grasped on to kickboxing, because the biggest complaint you'll hear from an American fan, especially one who isn't that invested in the sport, sort of just one of these guys who happens to be at the sports bar when a UFC event comes on.
Hell yeah!
they always say, you know, "Oh, what is all of this?"
Yeah, bro, come on, let's have another picture.
Get the
yeah,
cage.
Where are the chicks at, bro?
Sorry. Yes.
But most of them will say, you know, oh, they're grappling too much. I don't want to see two dudes dry humping each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Like, you're not going to see any grappling in kickboxing.
Yeah. You know, it is really what these casual fans want to see.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, it depends. Okay, what do you want to do? You want to have entertainment or you want to have a sport? And different people want different things, and they're equally, entitled to what they want. If you want to see pure entertainment, you may not see as much integrity when it comes to who wins and who loses. If you want to see a really, purest sport, sure, they're going to be really boring times. That's one of the reasons why you need to sort of combine the two, and I think 1FC is trying to do that. Certainly Pride managed to do that. K1 managed to do it where, you know, the no holding and only a certain amount of time on the ground for grappling. I mean, I remember when we got so many complaints for a while that because we let people grapple for too long in Pride. It took some adjusting, you know. Popularity and being able to perpetuate the sport and staying pure and true to the athleticism, you know, it's a fine line, and you got to kind of walk that tightrope. I think UFC is very good about walking that tightrope, and well, let's say I think that they're very good at making it maintain entertainment quality. I think what might be missing in some of the stuff that you see in North America is more of the quality athleticism. I miss more ring sports, quite frankly, personally. It's a different sport, you know. It's a completely different sport. There are things you can do in a cage you can't do in a ring, and vice versa. In other words, the more you know about the sport, like anything, you know, like anything that you become a connoisseur of, the more you know about it, the more you're going to want to delve into it and find, you know, the higher, deeper, wider aspects of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what? Do you have any theories on why kickboxing really hasn't taken off in the USA? Because I can't really, you know, figure it out.
I don't think anyone's really tried. I mean, kickboxing as a spectator sport for competition, I don't think it's specifically really been introduced there. Certainly, mixed martial arts has. I mean, I call it MMA, and I don't even know if the term MMA is really all that. Obviously, your podcast is called MMA, but does the average person who watches UFC even know they're watching MMA? Websites where, like, the one guy interviewed me the other day and on his site, and I'd actually honestly don't remember the name of the site or the guy who interviewed me. I feel bad about that, but on his page, we said, can I interview you? And I went to check out his page, and on his page, and it was a pretty popular site, sports in general. They didn't list it as MMA. They listed it as UFC.
And that's pathetic.
It's a brand, you know. That's not, you know. There's kickboxing. There's mixed martial arts. There's so many different. It's a new sport. It's in its infancy, really. I mean, if you compare it in terms to say football or hockey or hell, you know, tennis, anything, it's in its infancy and it's just finding its legs. But I think we can all agree at this point there are various brands and various disciplines. MMA, by its name, is mixed martial arts. People of different disciplines in the same ring or cage working in combined rules. And by osmosis creates a new sport. Always constantly growing and changing sport depending on what kind of a discipline is added. Whereas kickboxing is kickboxing. And I don't think there is grappling in kickboxing, is there? I mean, am I making a total ass?
There's the only grappling that is involved is clinching and takedowns from the clinch, which is allowed.
Be annoyed with that, though. I mean, we're not talking about being on the ground for an extended period of time.
True. I agree. You know,
it's 3 minutes now for MMA? Or not even, is it? I don't even think it's 3 minutes. Well, it depends on which brand you're referring to, but I'm quite sure that at least with Dream, it's not even 3 minutes for grappling. Don't move. Center, and then it's also action, right?
So. In the UFC, it's all up to the judge. Actually, I shouldn't even say that the UFC, the unified rule set in North America is it's up to the referee for when to stand it up. There's no standard time limit.
Set for mixed martial arts, correct? Is it for kickboxing specifically?
No, that's just for MMA.
just for MMA, right? So yeah, so there you go. There's another problem there. So if you're talking about like K1 or Glory, they would have their own set of rules. It's kickboxing specifically. So it's a little bit confusing. It's a growing, changing sport. So those in North America might be confused by watching what goes on in Asia, but I think those who are really into any kind of martial arts would behoove them. Put it that way. When was the last time you heard that word?
One last mixed martial arts related question,
yes,
and it kind of comes back to the topic of your career, calling out fighters for the big shows like Pride, now ONE FC, obviously. Mm-hmm. You're obviously really happy in Japan, but if you were offered a gig, would you come back to America to announce fighter entrances in the UFC? Because I think a combination of yourself during the walk-in and Bruce Buffer in the cage might make me so pumped for a fight, I'd just pass out right there.
I have family in America. I am American. I have an American passport, an American accent, in case you hadn't noticed. And I would love to come and do some work in the United States, purely based on certain contractual constraints. Probably I couldn't currently do anything for the UFC. I also really doubt that they would ask me. I mean, they're very proud of being their own thing, and I don't blame them. I mean, like, even when they come here, I would love to have done. Oh, there's a Wanderlei Silva fight coming up, isn't there? In March, isn't it?
He's fighting Brian Stann in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, like, Wanderlei Silva is literally a personal friend of mine. I mean, I know people say a close and personal friend, but he is. He's a personal friend of mine. I would freaking love it, and so the crowd here would love it, for me to do his entrance call. Even that, I would have to make sure it's not against my contractual obligations that I already have. There is, despite as much as across the aisle handshakes and, you know, people try to get along, there is a certain amount of tension between what's going on in North America and what's going on elsewhere. There's a lot of competition. I don't get involved in any of that, so I doubt very much that I would be asked. But there is tension. But if I were asked, I would try to be there, put it that way. I have nothing against the idea of doing it. I probably will be coming to the States with other organizations that I'm involved with. The likelihood of me working with the UFC is pretty slim, I think. I happen to, by the way, be a friend of and a big fan of Bruce Buffer and Michael Buffer. I think they're great. I think they're great. And Jimmy Lennon Jr. I think they're great. And Mike Ciavello, they're really cool guys. And we all get along. I mean, we're always like sending each other Twitter messages and stuff. There's no animosity or, you know, sense of competition or anything, as far as I know, between us. It's all about just the sport. So if the opportunity were to arise, and it would be okay with everyone involved and no hard feelings and no contractual issues and all, I would be there in a flash. Well, there's the short answer that you were looking for.
Whether it was
you just
the UFC,
edit all the other shit out, okay?
Whether it was UFC, Bellator, whatever, that would definitely be really cool to see you calling for domestic fight promotions.
I would love to do it. I mean, and my style is very specific. I'm very unorthodox. I'm not traditional, and I don't know how that would go over. But you know, people thought it would. I know I have a lot of fans in North America, but I suppose some people would prefer a more orthodox style. Who knows? Put it this way, I wouldn't change the way I do it.
Nice. You should not change the way you do anything. You're a one of a kind, and you know, I'm glad to hear that you get along with all those guys. And if you actually made your debut here in the States, I'd be a huge fan of it. I think it's some change.
Pride was in Las Vegas twice. Okay. So
how about this? A resurgence.
Yes. A resurgence. How about or my debut? Say with my non
promotion.
Yeah. I've also done Elite in the States, so, and also Legend Fights, which I think is now defunct. But I've done Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, and Hawaii. So it wouldn't be my debut, but I would love to.
We would love to see you come out here and give some swag and some class, to announcing. That'd be amazing. We actually have one more question.
Okay.
It's kind of a serious one. Brace yourself. All right. This is very serious.
All right.
Okay. Some people, they like vanilla malt. Some people like bubble gum. Some people like chocolate mint. What is Lenny Hart's favorite ice cream flavor?
You were very kind to let me know that you were going to be asking this question so I could prepare myself. And I tell you, I did some research last night. Too much research last night. Short answer, I mean, like, basically, I know it's going to freak you guys out, but I'm a vanilla girl. Isn't that boring?
No, you know, we've gotten so two or three fighters say vanilla. The same thing.
I love vanilla. My second favorite would be maple walnut.
I don't know if I've ever tried maple walnut.
Maple walnut is
like a nutty, sweet thing.
It's lovely. From Baskin Robbins, my father, God rest his soul, real hero, Air Force pilot. Oh, wonderful man. But I'm looking at a photo of him when he was 18 years old, and he's in the Air Force, his Air Force uniform right now as I speak to you. Lovely man. Like that generation of guys, you know, that generation, the ones who fought in World War II and Korea, and he was a wonderful man.
The greatest generation.
God bless him, yeah. His favorite ice cream was maple walnut. And I didn't like it only because probably I liked it the first time I tried it just because daddy liked it, you know? But it is really freaking kind of awesome. You got to try it. But I do – one more thing I'll say about ice cream, okay? Because this is important. We need to really cover this issue. Absolutely. I remember, and we cannot get it here, and I haven't had it in, at least a quarter of a century because I've been here 25 years, right? Do you remember creamsicles?
Do
they still have them?
I think so.
I'm hard pressed to decide between plain vanilla, maple walnut, and creamsicles, the orange sherbet on the outside of a vanilla ice cream on a stick. So there you go.
I'll tell you what, I will FedEx you a box of creamsicles if in return you do an alarm clock announcement for me.
Okay, cool. Deal. Well worth it, man. Although good luck having it be still cold when it gets here.
Yeah, you don't gotta pack it in dry ice or something.
FedEx is amazing.
I promise you, my alarm clock call will not lose its heat. So
it'll come just as hard every morning. Yeah, so
wait a minute, that's a bit skippy. Oh, sorry, skippy, that's Japanese. Skippy, that's a bit nasty, I suppose.
Comes as hard every morning, and we're back to sex.
Morning glory. Okay. now I do what I'm going to do tag call because now would be a good time to change the subject.
Well, no. Let's go back to ice cream. I have one more question. Are any flavors really popular in Japan that aren't very popular here?
Green tea.
Green tea.
Yes, which my husband loves. It's called matcha. And I know that they have it in the States as well, but it's very, it depends on where you go in the States, I suppose, but it's really, really, really popular here. And I've tasted it. It's not as gross as it's actually not gross at all. It's pretty good. Matcha, green tea flavored ice cream. And my husband loves it. He's not a Japanese. He's a Kiwi. Got a New Zealand husband. He loves it. And I can appreciate it. I do appreciate it, but I don't like it. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I'll eat it, but it's try it one day. It's one of those. It's like me. It's like polarizing. You either love it or you hate it.
I'm gonna hunt that out, and I'm ever at a place and they're serving it, I'm definitely gonna try it out.
Restaurants, they serve it.
The nightlife district here in Tokyo is called Roppongi, and there was a restaurant here. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was. Everything garlic. And I swear to God, I'd never tried it myself. My husband, the adventurer that he is, did try it and said, whoa, it was interesting. Was garlic flavored ice cream at this everything garlic restaurant. So that's an exotic flavor that Ben and Jerry never thought of.
That sounds amazing. I love garlic.
I love garlic and I love ice cream.
I wonder though, you know, because green tea really does taste pretty decent as an ice cream. Again, not my favorite, but I guess it really kind of, if you think about it, you know, why not? I mean, it's not like it would be like fried in butter or whatever, right? It's just the essence of garlic. I still don't think I would like it personally, but.
Yeah, I don't know how I would fall on that. Thank you so much, Lenny. You've really been an awesome guest. You and Bruce, you and Buffer are really in a league of your own as far as getting crowds pumped up and amped up. You can hear her calling fighters for ONE FC nowadays. Follow her on Twitter at Lenny Hart. I actually looked up Anderson Silva's Twitter handle just a second ago. He's at Spider Anderson. So there you go. He's
that is so cool.
He's definitely reached out, and he is far and wide really thought of as the best fighter in the sport's history. So you've kind of put your two cents into a bunch of pretty cool things in MMA history.
Thank you, man.
Definitely visit LennyHart.com too. You have any other plugs, shout outs you'd like to throw out there before?
Well, ONE FC will be in Kuala Lumpur on February 2nd, and we're growing exponentially. During 2013, sorry, we will have 1 billion viewers worldwide. So keep checking the ONE FC webpage for updates on how you can see what we do. We've got 12 events happening here in 2013. We're already working on 2014, and we've got 24 events scheduled so far for 2014. So this is a big deal. There's also some talk of Lenny Hart going to Brazil and Lenny Hart going to London, but we're still in some contractual talks about that, so I can't get specific with you about that. Check out the webpage for ONE FC's upcoming 2-2 Kuala Lumpur return of warriors. So there you go.
Wow, yeah, we're really appreciative for you coming on and spending a little time with us. We were going to say tonight, but it's about noon over in Tokyo, so I guess I'll say this afternoon.
Absolutely. It's 12:16 here now. So, yeah. Yep. On what day is it? Thursday.
Yeah, you're a day ahead of us, too.
The future, darling. I'm talking in the future.
Futuristic.
See, I know what's going to happen in the world because I'm talking to you from the future.
Might as well be Mayan.
Well, I guess we kept all of our listeners waiting for a little MMA podcast called I Swear. I've been really looking forward to this moment from the day we reached out, so I'm really pumped about hearing an MMA podcast call. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Are you still with us?
I am still with you.
Oh, yeah. Could you give us a MMA podcast call?
RL. Okay,
Thank
you ready?
Thank you so much.
Yes!
Okay. Yep.
You're listening to the MMA Podcast with Jake and Chris.
Thank you so much. That was amazing.
You cut
wow,
that down. That... It was a bit long, I know. And my little 5-month-old border collie puppy is going, wow.
No, we are going to I'm taking down the time now so I can clip it out we're going to play that at the beginning of every episode. Thank you so much.
Lenny, if you weren't married, I would romance the shit out of you.
Oh, darling. You know what they say, you know, variety is the spice of life. What is the plural of spouse?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm a faithful girl, but thanks for the compliment.
Thank you so much for coming on, and you were a really funny interview. Really fun interview. We'll definitely try and speak with you sometime down the road again. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You take care, guys. Have a good evening.
You too.
Nine.
Bye.